Episode 635. We did this episode back at the Iowa Classic with the Buckstorm boys in a hotel.
Always good to see them, boys.
Yeah, Jeremy good wasn't dudes. There because he was in some sort of work training, which, hey, you got to do what you got to do. But we miss that little little fucker.
We do.
I was going to say call him something else, but I figured that'd be little fucker would be nicer than.
Didn't want to get into it that early.
Not that early, you know? The guy wasn't there. He wasn't there to defend himself. So even though we probably back
next
him
time he will
worse.
Be.
He better be.
You want to just bless us with a veteran shout out right off the rip, or are you not ready?
You got the music ready?
Oh, hold on, hold on. Ooh, fuck, I hope so.
Fuck nice. Yeah. The short and sweet one. This is meant by Chelsea Poffenberger, and Blake Poffenberger is the veteran from the Marine Corps. Says he's a huge WCB supporter. Hell yeah.
Thank you.
Been hunting since he was little with his pap. Huge love for the sport and studying deer movement. They're from PA, but moved to Wisconsin, but they still hunt both. So thanks for submitting that, Chelsea, and thank you for your service, Blake.
Thanks, Blake.
Thanks, Blake. Thanks, Chelsea.
Good luck out there in Wisconsin with the cheese.
The cheese.
What do you know about cheese?
I love cheese.
Do you?
Does your girlfriend taste like cheese?
No.
The podcast is brought to you by Elite Archery. Yeah, we are sponsored by Elite somehow. That great company sponsors us.
It's impressive, really.
It is.
It's actually a pretty big deal.
They're still around.
Should we talk about what we're going to do?
Let's talk about it.
We are going to do a fun summer series to get you guys motivated in archery. We got our belt in. There's going to be a championship belt. And we're full-blown WCB archery tournament against each other.
We can play those snakes.
We're going to... This is the plan. We're going to elevate each other's shooting game with our elites. Elite to elite. Who will come out elite?
Ooh. Ooh. Whoa.
And we got to say, too, this is like a legit belt.
Yeah, we fucking went hard in the paint. It's this thing. Tyler, you're our Jamie. Will you go grab that baby and lay it in here on the studio table?
Fucker's badass.
It's fucking badass. She is.
Shit.
This thing is a belt. So we went hard. We ordered a real belt, like a real full-size belt. On the front, it says WCB Podcast. It's full-size. Like, if you...
It's legit.
If you won that in a fight, you'd be pumped.
Oh, hell yeah.
So what's dope about it, we used Tarnin camo as the back layer, but they added, like, black accent to the Tarnin, so it made sense. And then... On the side plates, it's all three of our bucks, Euros, done by, hand-drawn by Dustin DiTilio, the wildlife artist, and then one plate has a Hang and Bang logo on it. And we're going to battle out for this belt with our elites.
Fucker's sick.
A lot on the line.
I want that fucking thing.
I want it.
No, wait, I want it.
I want a picture of me with you guys disappointed by me, like, winning.
Yeah, but the cool thing about it is archery tournament to archery tournament with the elites, that's up for grabs every time. The real kicker is who gets it for the longevity is whoever kills the biggest buck at the end of the year and gets to carry that baby through show season.
Oh, baby.
It's going to be me, boys. I'm just saying.
It's a real honor. We'll see. Could you do it twice?
Nope.
All right.
Nope. The podcast is brought to you by Big Time. You can use code WCB2024. I frost seeded my farm.
Yep.
And then the motherfucker flooded.
flooded all the seed out.
So who knows where all that seed is.
Yeah, it's in the river.
Growing somewhere, hopefully.
It's in the river. Riverbank's going to be plentiful of clover. So I need to re-seed it.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it happens.
We'll be just fine. What do you guys got planned? Pear? Lick brick?
It's pear time.
It's pear season.
Pears are in.
All the craze. I wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. You'll never
but
know.
But if you did know, you'd be all in.
Unless
pears.
You'd
be
Big like Time makes if like a pear deodorant stick that I can like use pear lick branch. Lick rope.
Pear-flavored clover.
Really, anything can be done, I'm sure, right, nowadays?
I would think
that
so.
That seemed like a very odd thing.
Be kind of weird, but...
Kind of cool.
I'd eat it.
Big Ten will figure it out. Code WCB2024. Huntworth unknowingly sponsored our belt by letting us... we actually... You know, I did run it by Nate from Huntworth. I asked him if we could use the pattern... And he didn't seem to care too much. But
likewise, I don't care.
didn't seem to care too much.
Okay, let's be honest. I didn't really ask him. I kind of just told him we were doing it. And but I think Tarnin Black needs to be a thing after seeing that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
So thank you, Huntworth, for letting us steal your pattern.
I'd be like a countertop.
What's that?
I'd be like a countertop design.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be sick.
Okay. Thanks, Nate from Huntworth. You're the man. Huntworth Gear is the jam for everything spring turkey. Code WCB15. Save you some coin there. Trophy line. We're hanging and banging. You can hang and bang in a saddle.
Oh, absolutely.
Technically, you probably get hanging banged in a saddle.
You're banging.
You're not a saddle guy yet.
Not yet.
What does trophy line got to do?
Might kill a turkey out of
What do they have to do to get you in a saddle?
You can kill a turkey out of a saddle?
Yeah, kill a turkey out of a saddle.
That's cocky.
That is cocky.
Are you a saddle hunter, do you think? Do you identify as a saddle hunter?
Yeah. I'll ride that wave.
Wow.
I'm a saddle hunter.
You are?
Yep. I'm gay.
What?
Did you say you're gay?
What was that noise?
No, I didn't.
Did you say you're gay?
What was that noise you made?
It was a quick nothing.
Was it a word?
I coughed.
Yep. What?
Yeah, I'm saddle hunter.
Oh. Hey, I'm writing an article for this year's Saddle Hunter magazine again.
Making us proud.
I'm like the queen fag of WCB.
100%.
You're the one who's like too flamboyant with it.
Me? Oh, is that too far? Sorry. I do love Trophy Line and I love what they're about. You know.
And their packs are awesome too. So
get
those out.
Everything's awesome about them.
Sling pack and the thigh rig for turkey season is a jam.
Yeah.
Code WCB works for everything there. Grizzly, coolers, hunting blinds. I want to kill a turkey out of an elevated blind.
You were saying that. That'd be pretty sick.
I don't know if I have one. Well, it could be. Could be possible. But code WCB works for everything. Grizzly, the new Grizzly drinkware, coolers, all that good stuff. The Black Gates, code WCB10, Black Gate hunting products.
Got some turkeys on there already.
I'm turkey scouting with them babies.
Yeah, wait, turkey scout.
I put one out near some. Actually, I put them on the box blinds, the Grizzly box blinds, to see just for turkey scouting. No luck there.
No luck yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
They'll be there.
But on the other
spot, show up.
On my other plot where I showed you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking mama.
It's going down.
My real mom, not mama, my wife, my mom hunting next weekend.
Good blast one in the face.
We're going to try.
Hell yeah.
Got a 12 gauge with 3.5 inch turkey loads getting thrown at my mom. She'll be fine.
She'll know.
I go,
she'll know.
I
mean,
I was at Farm King and I was going to buy like one of them cushion butt pads. It was $40. And I'm like, sorry, mom. You'll be fine.
It's your mom.
She'll be fine.
Okay.
What's your mom shoot?
A 20 gauge.
Sorry, mom.
She actually blasted one last year, like 40 yards. It's impressive.
I just wasn't going to. I mean, I guess I could have got
spend 40 bucks on your mom.
She'll be fine. But it would have made the gun longer. That's maybe the main reason why I didn't.
She won't even feel it.
That's what
all
I
adrenaline.
She's going to come practice with it this week.
Oh, she's going to. She's going to feel it then for sure.
I wonder. I was like, is she going to shoot it first, or are you just going to fucking wing it?
I can't just throw her to You know, I want to make sure she knows how to shoot it.
Well, I know. That's what I was saying. I hope you would have her shoot it before you just threw her out in the blind. Like, let's go.
Nah, my dad just threw me into the wolves on that one.
12 gauge?
Yeah, 3.5, and I was like 14.
They're not that bad. They kick.
You shoot a couple more than once, though.
I enjoy it. You feel like you killed it.
Yeah, you really do.
You know? It's like, at this point, she's going to hit near it.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right. Well, sorry, mom. My mom is going to get to see some Trophy Line products and use turkey hunting. And see the Black Gate running too. Black Ovis got some turkey decoys from Black Ovis, Camo Fire, Novix tree stands. Obviously, the Hilo, the Echo is our choices. They're getting rid of the Raider. Hang on.
Yeah.
They're phasing it out, which is a good experiment, which is cool. Deercast, doing all the mapping, keeping track of our trail cams, obviously. Leupold, avoiding FOMO with our range finders and binos. Hey, we have a new partner announcement.
Oh, who is it? Let's hear it.
Greg made an announcement about it last week.
But Greg did. Thanks, Greg.
Aluma, great job.
Aluma Trailers.
Badass.
As a new partner of WCB, which is, in my opinion, very fitting.
Yeah.
Because I always wanted one, and obviously they have a reputation for being kick-ass aluminum trailers.
Made in Iowa.
If you have a side-by-side or a little tractor or...
Everyone needs a trailer.
Or you mow your plots with your zero turn, which I may or may not have done several times.
Hey, it's what the hell?
Head, Doug? That itch.
You're ruining the plug.
Sorry.
Doug, would you have a zero turn?
I would love one.
You need to get one.
Yeah, I know.
Then you can buy a Luma trailer to pull it.
Fucking expensive.
Doug has a a driveway 4 miles long and you don't have a mower.
No, I don't.
I got a push mower you can borrow.
With a box blade? Push mower with a box blade on it?
I'd be gripped as fuck if I did that, though.
Yeah, it'd be embarrassing. But we're proud to have a Luma.
Someone saw me.
We're proud to have a Luma Trailers on board. That's a pretty big deal for us.
Yeah, yeah.
100%. So they're an Iowa-based company, which is even fucking cooler. So shout out to Luma. Thank you for the opportunity. Looking forward to the partnership. And I know everybody here is probably familiar with the Luma. Also, Victory Arrows, Dialed Archery. And man, we're getting back in the Rogue Ridge e-bike game here soon.
That's right.
More to come on that. But yeah, little bullshit session coming at you here with Buckstorm. Talk a lot about elk. They laid them down this fall.
They put work in.
Yeah. Travis gets into the how many elk. I mean, over 12, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was something crazy like that.
Which is like in the time frame that you kill 12 elk is insane.
Insane.
So
you okay?
Falling apart over here?
You need one?
Oh, Doug. Hit the smelling salt.
Right now?
Yeah.
Do it on the intro.
Oh, fuck. Do it for the people. You're going to do it right now? Okay, yeah, do it. Let me video you. Start this Bucks right now.
Wait, hold on. I got video you,
dude. I'm scared.
You can do this, buddy.
Yeah, you're falling apart over there.
You got this.
Hold on.
Little surprise for the people in the intro.
How big of a whiff do you do?
Just whiff it.
I got nothing. 1 second.
Maybe you got to activate it.
Oh, shit.
Put it in your mouth.
Eat it.
My mouth?
Actually, it says if you eat it, call poison control, so don't eat it.
Oh.
Okay, you got this. Is it wet?
It's wet. Yeah, it's not that bad.
Take a big whiff. Like a big whiff.
Yeah, it's not that bad.
Ah, bummer.
Are they expired?
It feels expired. This smells like jalapenos.
Yeah, kind of. What? Here, Eric.
Yeah. Ah, what a bummer. Sorry, people. I was really hoping Doug would like...
Yeah, that would have been a lot cooler.
Yeah.
Oh, it does smell like jalapenos.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Letdown. It's a letdown. Anyway, enjoy this episode. Sorry that failed.
I think I'd Thanks stay for tuning fainted.
In. I'm Chase Rolfson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bow Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
WCB podcast. We're in a hotel room in Des Moines, Iowa. Iowa Deer Classic weekend for us.
Hotel podcast.
But in real time, it's like Iowa Deer Classic was probably like a month ago. So sorry. Just the things we have to do.
That's how it works out.
Buckstorm's in the hotel with us.
There's a bunch of dudes.
Dude it up.
Dudes being dudes. Up.
Definitely no women here.
Yeah.
No zero allowed.
What's up, boys? Let's let people introduce yourselves so they know your voices.
Austin, you get to go first.
All right. Austin Yoakum.
Derek Verbeek.
Travis Teal. We're all with Buckstorm.
Where's Jeremy?
I think he's in Kansas doing some work stuff.
Get a little bit.
Poor this little guy.
Work. What's he doing?
Poor little guy.
This is work.
This is the best work.
Yeah.
Dude, all right, so people who listen know Buckstorm if they know our library or if they watch YouTube and are from South Dakota and all the stuff. You guys kill it. We got to get the first things first. Travis is now some sort of like politician. What happened,
What's
dude?
What's going on? Are you like the governor of...
yeah, totally. No, I got asked to sit on the commission for the state of South Dakota, so I just get to help hopefully influence positive hunting and experience in South Dakota for years to come for our grandkids, kids, everybody.
How does one get that position?
Not sure.
High praise.
Yeah.
Just being involved in South Dakota.
Yeah, I think just being involved just led to communication and lots of people bringing up my name and they reached out and they've reached out before and I just didn't really have time. So decided to make the leap and just do it. A lot of people think it's like a paid job. It's not. You do it to make a difference. So,
but like all serious, no, it's kind of got to be an honor though. Like to have them ask you to do this.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Technically the commission like decides everything in the state. So it is a big deal. It's important. I think it's important to get people in there that care.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting deep, but
no, that's cool.
It's going to be cool. It's a cool opportunity for sure. So,
well, that too. And like, we haven't done a podcast since you've been full time at Buckstorm, have we?
No. I don't think so.
Been so busy.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Congrats.
You're a full-time elk killing SOB.
It doesn't suck.
How many elk did you kill last year?
13.
13?
The whole Buckstorm crew and the outfit?
Yeah.
13 elk. And how much, like, what's the time? Like a month and a half?
All of them but two got killed in 12 days.
Wow. That's crazy.
That's a lot of elk.
So you killed 11 elk in 12 days.
Austin shot one with his bow in Wyoming. I shot mine with my bow in South Dakota. And most of them are our rifle elk hunters.
Yeah, because you guys, Buckstorm hunts, you guys.
Yeah, and there's four of us. So, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but I mean, it was probably two or three elk apiece, basically.
That's a lot involved in, to me.
It was a lot.
It was great. I mean, it awesome. Couldn't have went any better. I mean, we went pretty much 100%. We had one older gentleman that had a little struggle getting around, and we had some opportunities, but his health just didn't really allow us to hunt
Austin,
hard. But
you've killed a couple bulls in Wyoming now, haven't you?
I have. I've got three bulls in Wyoming.
I just said you bulls in Wyoming.
Two bulls?
Two bulls. Lost the one. But
Jeremy Snapchat us back.
We sent a great Snapchat to Jeremy, and he just sent us one back saying, fuck y'all.
We just insulted him. Poor guy. Poor little guy. Now, you guys are killers. The elk thing is like the way you guys get after it. Well, elk are more like your...
Yeah, that's...
Elk are your whitetails, I don't think is accurate, or maybe it is.
Yeah, I mean, to me personally, I mean, we have decent whitetail hunting around, not like here. But yeah, for sure. It's like, the thing is, in South Dakota, it's so hard to get a tag that the only way you get to hunt a lot in South Dakota is maybe if you're an outfitter, or if you go hunting with people a lot.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it all started. We used to just take people out, and then we were like, if we're going to do this, we got to make sense of it because we're gone a lot.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, it's got to be worth your time.
Family, and then the demand was there, and just life changes. Spend a little more time with the family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're gone less. You're gone for longer periods of time, but you're home way more.
So, yeah, that makes sense. So why do you, I know the answer, but I don't. Why do you go to Wyoming if you have such good elk hunting in South Dakota?
Yeah, what's that about?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, you know, I got 18 years in preference points in South Dakota. I still haven't gotten on from a tag.
18 years preference points in South Dakota. You've never drawn a resident archery tag?
Resident any tag.
Is that like unheard of?
Rifle, no. Archery.
Oh, 18 normal. Years?
18
that's
years.
Normal.
As being a resident.
Yep.
So I drew my tag this year with 18 years, and I drew my rifle tag in 19 with 16 years, and that's pretty good because a lot of people take over 20.
I just looked today. The highest guy right now is 28 points.
28 points and hasn't drawn.
That's the highest catcher in South Dakota. Rifle. I don't know what archery is.
Now, you don't know if he applied every year, if you just bought points. But
he's at 28.
There's people that apply every year and still take over 20 years. So
as living as a resident in the state,
but there's, keep in mind, we have our elk population's like 8,000, and I think the total bull tags, like all the units are different, but there might be like 500 bull tags in the Black Hills.
Oh, really?
And then the rest are cow tags. So like a lot of people have got cow tags. Austin's had numerous cow tags left over, but to get a bull tag, it's basically a once in a lifetime, or maybe twice if you draw. Like, I can't even apply again for 9 years.
What? So you'll never kill another archery bull in South Dakota?
I might if I live to be like 70, 65, but I can't get around.
So is that the same? Is that just elk? Like, is whitetails and mule deer and everything the same?
Deer tags are a lot easier.
Deer tags are easier.
You can,
but you just have to draw? Draw the gun,
you draw.
But some of the units are still tough to draw for deer. It just depends.
Sure.
Hunting.
So, Austin, you got to be like any day, but if you can be that dude that's got like 30, we set the new record.
I have 9 points. Yeah. I told him I'm going to draw before you.
It could happen, but I'm just
someone
draw applying for other states and keep going out.
Jeremy drew at 9.
I can slow me down from going out.
It's just,
somewhere else.
Yeah. God, that's crazy.
1 year while you're sitting there waiting.
I know.
All right. So, the Wyoming thing, I didn't mean for the lead into such a, that's a good combo though.
But it makes sense.
Yeah. But it goes to show like, man, you guys just, I'm fascinated by people that can just go kill elk. Because I think for mid, like, you guys are Midwest technically, but you're not. True Midwest boys, the elk is like, well, that's the dream. And it seems for a lot of people like untouchable.
Yeah.
So I'm always fascinated when somebody watches 12 elk die in 12 days, basically.
11 days.
11 days. You know what I mean? It's like.
It's fun. It's fun.
It's your guys' realm.
It's a lot of work, but it's fun. It's worth it. I mean, I was pretty burnt out by the end of October. I won't lie.
What's your favorite thing about elk hunting and everybody around the table? Favorite thing?
Being able to call me.
Calling?
Yeah.
What's your, all right, Travis?
I mean, there's nothing better than a bull screaming in your face at like 10 yards and like sends chills down your spine. So gotta be that. But just elk bugling in general, just watching them. Like they're just like, they're like a extremely aggressive whitetail, like beyond. I mean, like when you see two whitetails like squaring off, that's like an elk like every day of the rut. They're just, they're mean. Like they kill each other like a lot. Like you hear of dead bulls like getting. Breaking each other's necks and stuff in fights. I mean, they're just savages. They're big animals.
It's like a whitetail that calls like a turkey.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Dude, you know how sick whitetails would be if they bugled?
Oh, God. Oh dude.
Nobody cared about elk.
I always said if deer bugled, I wouldn't need elk hunt. But
that is sweet. So. If they bugle the same volume as like an elk.
Yeah. Or even a goat. Anything to let us know where you're at, basically.
A little louder than a groom. What if they just screamed? Ah!
I'll get a goat.
If Eric was a whitetail,
they scream, but it was creepy, and you're just like, it's like, yeah, I'm not
them. You're like, what the hell?
You know what I'm good. Sound that
awkwardly
cool.
Creepy.
What about you? What's your favorite thing about elk?
So, I haven't gone elk hunting with the boys yet. I'm from Iowa, so I just moved to South Dakota a few years ago. So, I actually mule deer hunt while they're elk hunting, but I told one of these years I got to go out. I've heard one elk bugle in his tree stand. It's different.
Okay. Crazy. Now we got that least favorite.
How heavy they are packing.
Does it get old? That's a good thing, right?
Well,
drawing a tag.
Yeah. Number one. Second. Yeah. So like if most of the time you go elk hunting, you're trying to kill one single elk. And so, like, you pack it out, and you're done, and you go home, and, like, you recover, and you're fine. But when you're guiding, like...
You got to pack them all out.
So, I think rifle, we killed, like, 10 bulls in October. We killed probably 7 or 8 of those bulls in the first 10 days of October. So, you can, like, figure out how many elk we packed out every day. And it worked out to be basically one a day.
And Jeremy came.
So, like, you don't get a break. You just keep packing meat. And, like, physically, like, none of us, like, hit the gym real hard. We're, like, stay in shape by doing hunting things. Like, we work out by shed hunting. And that's a workout.
No, it is.
But do you guys, like, so, like, when you guys pack these out, do you guys have enough guys you can do it out in one? Or do you make multiple trips?
Out of all of our flights that we had this year, we only packed one out in one trip.
Yeah. Most of them take more than one, but we had like really good hunters in camp that were super cool. Like they're like sacrifice their own honey time. They just want to go be part of the recovery.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So like it's middle of the day. There's not a lot going on. We kind of have an idea for the night. Let's go help them, you know.
Usually they bring a friend.
And like the one bull, we had like 9 of us.
That was pretty awesome.
And got it all out one.
Yeah. It was like easily out one.
Okay. I've talked about this a little bit. And I killed my bull in Wyoming with a rifle. And we had horses, so we were able to get like everything and then some, you know, down to the bone. What I realized, and maybe I'm wrong, there's going to be some guys that argue because I don't know. I don't really don't know that much.
Right.
But my general assessment, that when I saw how big they are and how much meat is there, I looked at them. Trey actually made the point to me. And he goes, makes you realize when all them backcountry guys brag about it, how much meat they're actually leaving out there because they're only taking – the quarters and the back straps. They're not taking the neck meat. They're not taking the rib meat.
Yeah. A lot of them don't. Ooh. Yeah. Well, and like we're fortunate because like South Dakota and where we hunt is more accessible than like the back country of Wyoming.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like you can have brutal packouts, but usually you can like find a Forest Service road or somewhere to be able to drive like a mile.
Sure.
Maybe a mile and a half. Like you have time on your side where you have enough time to get all the meat out.
Yeah.
So we always take the neck meat.
Yeah.
The rib rolls, like everything.
Yeah.
Even if it takes a little extra time. Now there's times too that you have to like, I mean, you might have to make a choice. If it's 90 degrees, like you have to save do your best to save what you can.
Yeah.
Right.
And so in that, like, save some people say maybe you shouldn't be hunting that day, but like, you have this once in a lifetime tag. Like, who are they to tell you that you can't go hunting when it's 90 yeah, degrees, right. But you need to have a plan. Like, we have freezers at every camp. We flash freeze the meat immediately. We get back to camp. They're in freezers full of ice jugs. And by that night they have a crust on them. Like,
they're cold.
Yeah. So like, you have to have the setup. If you don't have like ice, like it's 90 degrees, you can't just like throw them in your truck and drive to town an hour away, get ice and expect the meat to be okay. You know,
right.
Same
right.
with Cape, like Cape has to stay cold too. So you just got to have a setup.
Yeah.
Make sure you have a plan, you know?
All right. I got another question for you guys.
Oh, here we go. You're
question master.
You're smiling. Question master. Oh.
Hello, my question master right now.
Yeah. Yep.
How much of this may be a question for everybody. I'm just like purposely trying to stir the pot here a little bit.
I love it.
Stir it.
How much of like the backcountry build up bragging, like tough guys that pitch that, how much of their stories and all the shit that they do, how much do you think is bullshit? Like Cam Haynes, I believe, was the dude's an animal. Like,
yeah.
There's certain people you're like, I believe you did that.
I think a lot
there's
of
a lot of dudes
it's
like,
just like a trend.
Bitch,
and they want to like be there, but I also am not going to say that I could do what they do, because even if they make it sound cooler, they probably still did work their ass off.
Yeah. Oh,
but
none of it's easy.
But it's kind of trendy.
It's trendy.
Yeah, it's trendy.
Like, does the trendiness cause people to exaggerate?
Well, yeah, because some of those guys are like, I was 20 miles back, and I packed the whole elk
they
out
hiked
20 trips,
miles
and
in
like,
2 days, well, and now they're like, 20 miles back.
That's 20 miles from where I live. Like,
I don't know if you guys have hiked 20 miles, but there is nobody, maybe Cam Haynes, there is not
that's
hardly anyone in this planet that could pack a 150-pound or, like, 120-pound pack in 20 miles. Like,
yes.
Physically, you could not
in a day.
And well, not even just in
that's
general.
True.
Like,
it's up and down.
You'd break a leg. You'd tear a knee. Like, you couldn't do it unless you're, like, a fitness
freak
god, you know? So, really, it makes you wonder if, was it 2 miles? Or
they just feel like 20 miles.
Did all the meat spoil? Because you can't pack it that far. Like, you can't go that far without an extra strategy.
Well,
like,
to be fair, though, take that same scenario and plug it into some of the whitetail guys. You see some public land media whitetail guys are like, yeah, it's 8 miles in. I'm like, bitch, 8 miles in Illinois? You can't get somewhere 8 miles from everything.
No, there's not public, there's not private ground that is eight miles
maybe
deep.
In like Shawnee National Forest. I maybe I'm wrong, and there is a spot in there.
No, they could probably, if you're zigzagging, might have went
just
8 miles.
We're looking at the ground and got lost and did a circle. Yeah, you might have walked 8 miles.
Yeah, right.
But you weren't 8 miles from like access.
Like your truck, you're probably a mile.
Yeah, it definitely gets exaggerated. And I'll say, like, I've been guilty of it in a small essence. Like, when I go shed hunting, like, you get done and your track's, like, 7.7, and you just tell people you hiked 8 miles.
That's fine, though.
But I'm like,
that is 8 miles.
Yeah, like,
but you can't be like, yeah, I was hunting Iowa, but I was 9 miles in on this piece of public where I killed this buck.
There's not a piece big enough in Iowa to get 9 miles.
Everyone's
walked 9 miles.
It's like, where is this?
Yeah.
I need to know. Yeah.
If someone uses the phrasing, I was 10 miles deep, I take that as you were 10 miles from anything accessible.
Yeah.
So if there's a county road, yeah, you're 10 miles in. One more mile would have been the county road.
Yeah.
You're a mile in. Even though you walk 10 miles.
Exactly.
You're a mile in.
But also, like, I don't think people realize how long a mile is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't.
A mile is so far.
Yeah. A mile's like walking from this hotel to downtown and back. Like, the whole way, you know.
Yeah. Times 20.
Yeah. And then do that 20 times with 120 pounds of.
Yeah.
And how many times they got to go back and forth?
Right.
Yeah. I'm not trying to discredit anybody that's done hard work.
No.
Obviously. But it needs to be talked about. It's kind of silly.
Yeah.
It can get out of control. Silly. You're like, guys.
Well, and then anyone that, like, I mean, I think people get their eyes open real quick because, like, they see this trend and then they wanted to go do it. And they're like, well, these guys go 20. It can't be that bad. And, you know, like, I can walk 10 miles, like, no big deal. And then they go do it. And by, like, the second day, they can't even walk.
Right.
And, like, now they're hunting from the road the rest of the time. Like, it's just not real. I mean, you get, like probably got eyes open when you first went to Colorado. Which
yeah, dude, for sure. Yeah, I didn't know. Well, we were just talking about like, maybe going back to that area. But yeah, we hadn't. I'd never been in elevation.
Ever before then,
you know? So yeah, but that's like, that's what that trip was kind of meant for.
Exactly.
It's like the over-the-counter Colorado elk. It's like, I didn't really think we were going to kill an elk.
Right, right.
You know, it's like, we're more just going.
But it's kind of opens the guy's eyes to like the physical part of it and what it actually takes to do some of that. And it's not realistic for most people.
Yeah, you know, it's not.
Like even some of the stuff we do is probably not realistic for most people, but we're lucky that we have this access because of this massive trail system.
Yeah, right.
You know, like a lot of them, maybe they're not even legal like truck roads. We can't drive on them, but it's much easier walking back to a main road
on a road. Right.
Or bring in a side-by-side or a e-bike or something up that trail.
Yeah.
So you can get closer and then like carting it out on an e-bike or something the last 3 miles instead of carrying
it. Just and I don't want to sound like I'm a backcountry guy hater. I'm not. I like, it's fun to like think about those hunts and like read the stories and hear the stories. And there's dudes that you like when they say things, you believe them. And then there's other guys you're like,
yeah,
there's no way.
Was it?
For sure.
Or I mean, but
it takes a lot. I mean, I shot my bull 3 miles in. It was just me and my wife. And like, I shot it at 8. It was 3 miles.
Yeah, it was.
I shot it at 8:40 a.m. And we finally got the last load out, you know, right before dark that night. And it, like, really? I was absolutely spent.
Yeah, almost 12 hours later.
I was so shot.
Well, I mean, are you running a haul 3 miles one way? So it's 3 miles.
So we took the first load down to the river, creek, big creek, whenever you want to call it, hiked back up, got the second load, hiked it back down.
So you don't want to leave the meat by the carcass in grizzly country.
No.
Because grizzly country, you say.
Yeah. You want to get at least, you know, 2-3 yards away from your carcass. So I was like, well, fuck, we'll just take it down to the river, get it cold, you know, lay it across some rocks, not actually submerge in water because you don't want to do that. But, you know, and then all the rest of the way, took a break, came back up and back down to the river and then back up and then back down to Thicca.
They didn't station us, baby. Yep. Leapfrogged it.
Yep. See, I love that, but I'm just too much of a fat ass. And,
yeah.
To be honest, I want to do it, but I don't at the same time.
Yeah,
it sounds exhausting.
I honestly, like, I'm a fat ass too, but by the time you don't have
we're
a choice.
We're all just admitting our fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, too.
I'm fat.
But we like,
hey, me too.
Throughout the season almost, it like builds up. And by the time it gets there, like we've packed like a few elk out in September, usually you kind of have your legs under you.
Yeah.
Like the first pack out's always like, oh gosh. Dude.
Yeah. Is there a free range ice cold beer I could have?
Yeah, right behind there.
Right behind there.
Can I have one too? Cooler.
But that's the thing too. Like,
there's not very many.
Like, with you guys saying that, I don't think a lot of Midwestern guys realize
the mountains.
They're not prepared for it. They think they are. I thought I was. I was not.
You never
whatsoever.
No matter if you're hiking or not, the elevation will get you.
It'll get you. I mean,
yeah, you're just.
And we weren't even like where we were in Wyoming or Utah. Like, we weren't working that hard, but you can still
bear camps. 50-50. And now it's 30% of what it
could
be.
Well, yeah, because most of the time you're riding a horse, which...
The nice thing, Utah was, like, higher elevation, but it wasn't that steep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, elk hunting in Wyoming, which I've done with a bow, and elk hunting in Utah, I felt like you'd be like, oh, that's a long way over there in Utah, but you're up there.
Yeah.
Like next thing you know, you're like, oh, I'm on top already.
You're already 3/4 of the way up there, so you're not.
Yeah, you're like, oh, there's a top right there. I'm good. Wyoming, I'm like, motherfucker, where's the top of this thing? That's how I felt the whole time.
Oh, you're shut out.
Some big country.
Yeah.
It's like never ending.
Oh, well, Wyoming's like everything's so, it's just way, I mean, the area we were at in Wyoming to the area we were in Utah, it could change where you're at.
Right.
It's just everything in Wyoming is steep.
Well, and we're fortunate, like in the Black Hills, it's like a mini mountain range. And so it's, you have the same steepness a lot of times, but it's not like 4,000 feet to the top.
Right? Yeah.
It's like 1,000 feet to the top.
Right.
Yeah.
So like you do it and then you get there and then all of a sudden it's not that bad again, but there's spots that suck.
Yeah.
But you don't have that and you're at a much lower elevation. Like we're hunting anywhere from 4,500 feet to 7,000 feet.
Yeah.
No matter what, there's going to be a little easier.
Yeah. I mean, it might still suck, but it's nothing like that.
Well, my first introduction to that was Butthole Mountain.
Butthole Mountain,
yes.
And named the mountain right out of camp in Colorado, Butthole Mountain. So we're like, oh, we're not climbing that again. And then we did it like two more times. But it like, It's how it felt to me. It probably felt different to you guys. And my dad and I
was getting hard. It did suck.
Like, it sucked. It felt like it like would go up and you'd be like over the top. Then you'd get over this crest and it'd be like,
no.
And go up. And I did that like three times and you're like,
teasers.
All right. Now we're on top. Yep. Finally, you know?
Butthole Mountain.
We call it Butthole Mountain.
Wow.
Just not far from Evashaki Drainage.
Yep.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
A life that has the stories to back it. A life to be proud of. It's a Winchester life.
Yeah, baby. 6'8 Western. Oh, mule deer, baby, right there.
Tune in every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV. In Wild Country, rules were not created by man. Don't miss Wild Country, Wednesdays from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Primos. Speak the language. Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.
So,
which one's better?
How did it get that? What was the name? Just because it sucked.
Don't answer.
Hey, I don't know why I didn't call it because it just sucked.
Don't answer that question. You're on schedule.
Is that why you guys
found the giant wood dick?
Yeah. No, that was the last ditch effort. That was a different era.
Oh, that was?
Because the fire pushed us out.
That was the greatest picture I've ever seen. Well,
that almost got the most views.
So funny, dude. We were dying. At that point, we weren't even hunting. We were just delirious.
That dick was bigger than Jeremy.
Yeah, it was. All right. Everyone's got a. All right. So we were hiking. It was the last day of camp.
This
was
a while ago.
This is 2018.
Yeah.
This is the first time I ever met Jeremy or Austin ever in person. Literally didn't know him before.
Yeah.
And then my dad was with. We did some podcasts in camp too. Same style we're doing now. And then it was like the last day. We were over hunting. We were just like hoping to run into one. And we're walking this like old Forest Service trail, and there's like, I don't know, some funny Forest Service guy must have just carved a dick way back in there. And we were just laughing.
It was like a tree that someone cut down, and they carved a dick out of it.
Right? You were still there, but you had left.
I had just left that morning.
Yeah, because we were.
Because you guys were going to stay for like two more days.
Yeah.
To get back.
Because isn't there a video of Jeremy leaning on it?
It's him bugling leaning on it.
Yeah.
But where
that dick was.
How big?
How old?
A couple of years probably.
Some guy laughing.
We were just laughing hysterically. You know when you're kids and you're having a sleepover and it's dark and you're just laughing for no reason?
Yeah.
We were doing that elk hunting.
It's just like us now when someone farts.
It's the same thing.
It's the same thing.
Nothing was funny and we're in there laughing. We're just fucking off. It was fun, dude. It was kind of a nice.
Some things never change though because that happens to us all the time.
Like, just out there fucking off for no
reason.
There's
an episode in our elk series from this year during my archery hunt that we just lost. Like, we shouldn't have even been hunting. We were just scaring everything away.
See, it's kind of fun, though, on a point.
But it was
like the giggle fits. Just,
The giggle fits.
We could not get it together.
Doug and I had that. We'll send each other videos in the stand. And it's like, I'm never going to see a deer. Yeah. I'm laughing so fucking hard.
Jeremy and I in Kansas, like, we only had one shooter buck come in. And it's probably because of that same thing. Like, you look at a group message and you show it to him, and then you're both dying and you're trying to be quiet.
Yeah.
It's like, we need to laugh. Remember that thing back in the day, that cough thing?
The cough muffler?
Yeah, the cough. Need a laugh muffler of some
even
sort.
Even shuts up guitar players. Ted, do you think he used to do the commercial for it? Remember that shit? Yeah. The cough silencer.
Yeah, the cough silencer.
Shuts up guitar players.
Need one of those. Need one of those.
Dude, yeah, that's a good idea. But yeah, but Butthole Mountain, to go back, give Butthole Mountain some credit. I found my first elk shot on top of Butthole Mountain.
Right in there? Right in the butthole?
Right on top of Butthole Mountain.
Sticking in,
bro. And then, but we went the easier way. There wasn't an easier way to get it.
Because you found it the day before we, or that morning or something. We got
my dad and I just went checking things out. But we went up part of Evashocky Drainage and got up there quicker. And that's sounds really bad.
Caring for another day.
But we jumped a big mule deer up there. Remember that? That big muley? And I didn't see it, but I remember you guys talking about it. But we actually had an elk up there.
We did.
Before the fire came, dude, the fire just, it fucked us.
Yeah. Yeah. Evacuated us all up. And
Doug needs some clarification on something.
Yeah, I need to know some stuff.
Yes, sir.
What is this Evashocky Drainage?
Well, Doug, are you the question master?
Yeah.
Don't answer that because you got a drink.
You just answered it.
What?
The question master. Nah, if you
just answer the question.
Well, I don't know what question master is. We were all having giggle fits. We're just sitting there looking over this drainage and we were naming the terrain. And Jeremy and I was talking about, since I've known him, how hot we think Evashocky is. And we were just, it sounded funny. Sorry, Eva.
But it stuck.
Like she listened.
It stuck for the whole
Yeah.
It's stuck, yeah. Butthole Mountain. They just happen to be right next to each other, okay? It sounds bad.
We didn't mean anything
by separate thing. It's a funny thing.
It's a compliment.
Yeah, it's a compliment. That was beautiful.
At all.
Yeah, it was beautiful in there. You should have seen it. That was gorgeous.
The most gorgeous place in the area.
That's why we named it that.
That makes sense. Waterfall.
The best.
It was beautiful.
See, that's what we did. We were just up there talking shit.
Yeah, no. That checks out. It's hard to know.
That's what hunting camps are for, though, dude. Like, let's be honest.
Oh, we drank your last beers. Sorry, buddy.
Great. You want this one?
Great.
Sure.
Dude, Jeremy wants to go back to that unit.
I'd be down.
I kind of want to just for nostalgia purposes.
Yeah, because you went there with your dad on your first
time. No, you just want to see that giant dick again.
Yeah. Hey. You should see told you that?
You should see that drainage.
Hey, listen. Leave me alone. Are you the question master? I think it'd be fun to go back.
Heck yeah.
We didn't really learn anything about the unit.
We didn't. We didn't have a whole lot of time in it, I feel like.
3 days? Yeah. Well, no. Maybe 3 days.
How many points was that unit? Do you remember?
It was over the counter.
Yeah.
Let's go.
But we were in that one unit, and the dick was in another over-the-counter unit.
So you were in a decent unit, and then you were in the dick unit?
The dick unit was separate from where we started.
Okay.
Evashocky Drainage and Butthole Mountain are not
with the dick.
In the dick unit?
In the dick unit. Not in the dick unit. It'd be funny. I'm going to change the subject now because I just know I was going to go dark. Never mind. Funny joke. I'll tell you later. You like that, don't you?
You already brought it up. Just tell us.
No, I can't. It sounds too bad.
Is that bad?
The timing has gone by that the joke
was funny. Okay.
All right.
Hey, next question.
That's all. We should maybe go back and just
I'd be down.
See what's up.
I wasn't there the first time.
Yeah, maybe you'd actually get us into some elk.
Fair enough.
I mean, sounds like you guys are just looking at
I got no comments.
Buttholes and dicks all the time. Well, what's going on?
What was I reading?
It sounds bad.
Hey, you guys explained.
You said it was your first time.
You said it's the first time.
Well, at least they redeemed
for a lot of
they redeemed it with another name, and then they named something Evashocky. So
because
they brought up a girl after a lot of weird things, you know.
Yeah, bless her heart. But we had 2 days there, and then that fire, so we had to move.
We heard some bugles.
There was bugles there. It's like I don't know if it's common for pressured elk. Do they just bugle in the dark and then it shuts off once daylight hits?
Definitely has an impact for sure.
Because it was like. I remember waking up early in the morning and like still pitch blackout a couple hours before daylight here in Bull right behind camp. And then we went in there chasing them.
And that's where I got
metal back there behind
Yep.
Did they actually tell you like you got to leave?
Oh, they Forest Service came driving through. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we ran into them putting out all the fire trucks and shit. We ran into all of them. It was, we went in the first day, the furthest we went in, which. I don't know. We didn't really go that far. We're more just like feeling things out.
Yep.
And then on the way back, we look up. We're like, oh, fuck, it's about to rain. Like bad. It looks like a bad storm. And we're like, oh, no, that's smoke.
Yeah.
And then we went driving up to check it out. We're going to go north. And it was
trying to figure out what the heck was going on.
Well, then once that happened, they didn't tell us we had to leave. We couldn't go where we wanted to go for our backup spot.
Yep.
But remember, everybody that was on all the northern units came down to the unit we were in because they couldn't hunt those units. So we drove up the backside. It'd be like the other side of Butthole Mountain.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we counted like 25 trucks on the mall.
Oh, shit.
Just parked
all over Butthole.
And we're like, we got to go find that. All over Butthole. Everyone was in that.
See, I kind of wish I did something like that before we went to Utah. I feel like Utah, we kind of got spoiled there.
For sure, dude.
We got like...
Yeah.
100%.
Like, it was...
But now you also probably have, like, more of the itch to do it again.
Oh, 1,000%.
Because you got the experience, and if you don't get that, you might be like, I don't know what all this fuss is about.
But this experience in Utah was, like...
Epic.
Epic.
Like, I watched the video.
It was epic. Looked epic.
It was straight Jurassic Park, dude.
It was Jurassic Park. Yep. Like, bugles every 12 minutes. Just...
Yeah.
That's awesome. Dream of.
Well, you can't... Yeah. There's only one way you can hunt elk in South Dakota unless you move there. And it costs you $10 every year.
$10?
Guaranteed to draw.
Yeah. One in about 20,000 chance, I think. But somebody's got to win. I've known a winner before.
Me. One in 20,000?
Well, there's
pretty good odds.
He's the commissioner. Yeah, hook me up.
I don't
mean the next year.
I'm in an awkward spot.
He does one of these.
Now I hope none of you draw or don't get in trouble. Yep.
Yeah.
See, but a non-resident can still put in that, you're saying?
Yeah. So one non-resident can win the Hunt for Habitat tag each year. So
what are you getting? Antelope?
There's three Hunt for Habitat tags. You get an antelope tag that's good for the entire state of South Dakota. You get any deer tag that's good for the entire state of South Dakota, every unit. And then you get a elk tag that's good for the entire state of South Dakota. And the elk tag is also good for Custer State Park.
Really?
Which
that's
is
a big one.
Pretty epic. It takes like 30, like there's guys with 40 years preference to draw that tag.
So, and you're just telling us this now.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it was always open to non-residents, but only one can win, and no non-residents ever won it yet. It's always been residents.
So, not good.
But you can buy as many tickets as you want. They're $10 each.
But you're saying...
Get your odds.
But you're saying there's a chance.
You're saying there's a chance. So, you should do it every year.
Draw one non-resident every year.
Yeah. Well, they draw, and then if a non-resident is drawn, then they don't draw anymore. Yeah. But the residents are all in there, too.
What was that one?
But no non-residents got drawn yet.
Yeah, what the
hell? Okay, I got a question.
First year, I thought.
Oh, was there one? Maybe the first year. Maybe that was last year.
I'm going to buy two tickets.
That could be.
How does the draw work? They got one of them game show things every state, and they...
Powerball.
Yeah, like Powerball.
They throw a dart on board?
I have no idea. It's computers. It's a third party that does everything. Same company.
So the shit's rigged. So the shit's rigged is what you're saying.
Commissioners all good.
What's the company?
Russian influence.
I don't even know.
Hey, I guarantee Mr. Politician over here gets one next year.
That's what we're saying.
I kind of hope not. It's going to look bad.
It would look real bad.
It'd look real bad.
No, put it back.
But it is. It's not.
Did draw. It would look so.
It's not rigged though because like the governor of our state has been applying for elk tags and has a bunch of preference and she still hasn't drawn. Like if anybody can get a tag, it'd be great.
She get the governor's tag.
Yeah, I think they waited to ask me until I had
multiple tags.
Can a non-resident buy a governor's tag in South Dakota?
Yeah, but the only governor's tag is for bighorn sheep.
Oh, really?
How much?
$200,000 to $300,000.
Can I buy two?
You might.
Dude, the world record's different, dude.
The world record bighorn came out.
The guy that won the
world record, not
South
state record,
bought it last year.
Biggest sheep ever killed.
How many sheep hunts have you done?
Two.
Did you guys go to one? Was a real big ring.
We killed Booner last year.
Has Papa John bought one yet?
Who? Papa John's Pizza.
No.
Jimmy John.
Or Jimmy John, Jimmy John.
Papa
John.
Oh, I don't know.
Papa John, I don't think, be hunting.
I think so.
No, I that's the other thing.
I think
probably good dude.
He got canceled.
I bet.
Yeah, I think Papa John ain't doing that.
Just bring pizza.
So how I put in for all those tickets?
It's under
on the table.
It's on the state website. I think it's open right now. You should probably do it like today.
Hold on.
Look it up.
It's the Hunt for Habitat.
Put your $10 in.
I think it's open already. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Put your $10 in.
That's like, what do I look up?
Just type in Hunt for Habitat. It's South Dakota.
Oh, no.
Damn. That sucks. It's so hard for non-residents. But South Dakota wouldn't be what it is. I mean, you guys don't
have big elk. We don't have enough elk. Well, and we... Probably could have more, but like there's so many social issues in our state with elk destruction of property, private landowners, and like the just same thing with deer.
Like elk destruction, really?
Yeah, but fences elk are way more destructive. And like, I mean, they're like dang near the size of a beef cow. So, I mean, they're taking out fences constantly. And just them just
walk. They just constant, walk.
So there's like a happy number. Same thing with deer, and they do like depredation programs really? When they get overpopulated and stuff. Similar, but they try to keep that from happening. So they just max, like they don't want over 8,000 elk in the Black Hills. Like they just cap it there. So if it starts to get there, they just increase tags to keep the population there. If otherwise, a guy could leave it alone for 5-10 years, and if things kept going, all of a sudden, maybe you have 16,000 elk. But they don't want that from a social standpoint because there's way too
overbearing.
Many. Yeah, and then like destruction of property, and there's what assistance the for some of the landowners. Like they pay out because, I mean, we manage the population. So in essence, the state is responsible to, in some level for some of the damages if they allow more animals. So it's a big fight all the time. So you got a lot of people that make their living off that land. It's important, you know. So if the elk come in.
And tags every year, don't they, almost?
Not every year, but they do have some good landowner
really
options. But
bulls or just cows or
bulls and
so cow, I could get a landowner tag.
Buy not an honor.
No, not as
they actually.
So hey, about that.
It did.
Speaking of, you can get a trophy bison tag also.
Yes,
you can.
Yeah,
I got and you. It's
you want to get the bison?
$10 for residents, $20 for non residents.
Oh,
my brother,
you lied about
every year.
I am sorry,
I can't afford that.
Move South Dakota. That's yeah, too much.
Move South Dakota.
South Dakota would be a rad state to live in, honestly.
If you lived in eastern South Dakota, it's not near as cool as western. But
pretty cool.
It you feel right at home. You can hunt your egg. There's big deer.
Or what?
Egg.
Egg.
Yeah.
Eggs.
Eggs.
Go to egg hunt. Eggs. Real good egg.
And you cannot buy them right now.
Oh, they're not open yet?
Commission.
Oh.
But this will be like a month later.
Trying anyway. To up his up.
No, you got to purchase them by July 11th.
I bought the last one.
Yeah.
What? I just bought the last one, guys. Sorry.
Sorry. Don't even look.
Wonder how many people are going to comment that they bought one.
Yeah, you just...
Why what the fuck would you say around?
Yeah, he's just trying to get paid.
He's trying to get paid for the governor thing.
Yeah, you're going to get paid. I don't get paid.
Commissioner.
You will once a million people.
You get a bonus.
Tax.
Yeah, they're like, wow,
yeah.
He really changed the state.
Yeah.
Economic.
This commissioner stands for commission.
Yeah.
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 More tags he sells.
You know what? I regret doing this. You're getting paid.
Anyhow.
Might as well cut this off right now,
Kurt. You're using us.
Yeah, you suck.
I hope somebody will.
Well.
Call me.
I'm proud of you guys.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, doing this, doing so well.
It's been fun. It's been a fun ride. Never thought it would. I mean, it's still, we're just passionate about it, you know? So yeah. It's not really work.
Yeah, but right.
You chase
right.
The dream, not the money. I mean, that's.
It's cool, though, because like being so South Dakota, motto, like so. You guys are just in what you do. Like you guys are elk hunters. You found a way to like be around more elk,
yeah.
How to keep killing elk, how to be more into hunting.
Yeah.
It's just like, cool to watch people be passionate about stuff and like go fish it.
Well, just being able to hunt more. Like you could go on a out of state elk hunt every year, but that's about your hunt. Like you do that and then you can't go anywhere else. And like,
kind of instead of doing on that
thing, it's like, yeah. We're closer to home. It's much easier. If something comes up, like you're close to home. I mean, there's just, you go elk hunt 30 days of the year and be home.
Yeah,
you know, but otherwise you go for 1 week out of town. It's a little different, you know.
Right,
yeah, 100%.
Being within phone call range, at least.
It's like with us and our whitetails, but
yeah,
yeah.
It's just way fucking cooler to get to do it. I mean, it's cooler to us a little bit with elk. It's like
yeah,
an elk's just.
But you would be surprised at like how many people in South Dakota haven't even seen an elk, and like a lot of our hunters, like if they live on the other side of the state, like they're just not familiar with the hills. They just don't want to waste their opportunity either. And that's part of the reason they reach out to us. And also, like, through our videos, they kind of know what to expect if they've watched any of them.
Terrain,
like they,
setup.
Yeah, terrain and, like, kind of how the hunts. Like, there's a lot of similarities in a lot of the hunts. So, if you watch the videos, then you kind of know what to expect when you come hunting with us. So, it's almost it's kind of unique because most outfitters don't have, like, videos of all their hunts. So, like, you go in blind. You don't know. Yeah. Like, they have pictures.
Yeah.
But you don't know what the quality of the hunt was just because they shot a big one. Did they jump out on a truck and shoot it?
Yeah.
You have no idea, but I think it's just
kind of
unique.
They have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, for sure. So, it's been fun.
That has to sell you so many hunts.
It does. I mean, it's all word of mouth pretty much in the videos. We don't even advertise it, really.
It's good.
It's on our website.
That's a great problem to have.
We don't post about it. We just...
You're just existing. So I'm saying you're just like where you're at.
Yeah.
People just know about you.
But we can only do so much. I only trust like there's four of us that guide right now, and there's plenty of really good elk hunters around. But
wait,
like unless you've hunted with someone, you're friends with them, like I want to provide like a quality hunt for our clients, and I don't want to just hire somebody to hire them. You know,
right? Yeah.
What'd you say?
Is that why you
said Jeremy on that list?
Somehow.
Is that why
you, is there like 3.5?
Yeah, try
three and a half.
And he's like, I applied. And he'd
not. No, our buddy James, he doesn't do a lot of video on
it. Gel.
But he's the elk hunter. Oh, because he's so short.
Yeah, he's
a little guy.
He's the half.
Right over my head.
He's the half guy.
Yeah, he is definitely a half guy.
Yeah. Technically, does his like phone say that he walks further because he's got little legs?
Yes, every time.
Maybe
because 1 year steps, so he's two the guy of his. So.
Not on Onyx, you know, but on everything else, like the health app or whatever. Yeah.
Jeremy's doing 20 miles.
Hey, you know what?
When you're doing 10, that's why.
I take back everything I said. Yeah.
It makes sense now.
You probably were 20 miles in there.
Sure, guys.
Little guy. Bless their little hearts.
I got short strides, Kurt.
Took twice as many steps. I mean, in theory, it's twice as hard on them.
Jeremy's ruined the thing. Yeah. Actually, the dude's an animal, but we won't give him too much credit. All right, boys, where can people find you?
We gotta go drink beer. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. YouTube's our main deal, obviously, but check us out on all three. And come see us at the show, Iowa show, wherever we're at.
It'll be over.
Next year, they'll be right down. They'll be right next to us.
So. Party aisle.
Yeah. Yep.
900 aisle.
Yep. It's our home.
The best aisle.
The party. The cool guys
aisle.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks, boys. Thanks for doing this last second at the hotel. And we got to go eat and drink more beer.
Thanks for having us.
Let's do it.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Later. You know what to do. Go shoot your bow. Peace.
Search for the one they call King, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.